All right, you ready? Let's open up our hearts. Let's say this together. Now, say it in faith. Don't just say it tradition. This is not Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star here. Come on now. Ready? Here we go. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen and amen. I was listening to a CD from a powerful, powerful man of God, a powerful preacher, teacher of the Word of God, named Carl McCauley. You ever heard of him? I've seen him around. He's over there. I was listening to that. He was talking about Gideon. And he just happened to mention this that we say every week, this is my Bible. And he shared about Gideon that the Word of God that God gave to Gideon was the key to the change in Gideon's life, him receiving that word. And so that's the same as it is for us. Us receiving what God has to say from His word to us, receiving that, ingesting it into our lives, believing it, acting upon it as if God is faithful is the key to the change in your life. How many of you say amen? Amen. Amen. So we're ready to receive from God. Open up to Romans chapter 8 quickly today. I need to get moving. David Michael Dearman Jr. threw us behind. No, that's not true. Thank God. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 14 together. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We're on this series called Be Led by the Spirit. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. Now we're studying being led by the Spirit. And then we'll, I believe, move into the power of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you have a different version, then that's okay. But let's all read out loud together. Follow along on PowerPoint if you don't have a New King James version. But let's all read together. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Reading loudly, let's read together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Let's read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Led by who? The Spirit of God. What's another way of saying the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Bible teaches us that we in the New Testament, Christians, believers in the New Testament, are supposed to not be led by our emotions and not be led by outside things. We're to be led by a specific person that was sent to us by the Lord Jesus and by Father God. Both are mentioned as the sending agents to us to not only be with us, but to be in us and to lead us, guide us, teach us, and help us to understand the ways of God. Is that true? So we are, and this scripture shows it once again, we are to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit. And it seemed to me, as I was studying this, that the Holy Spirit directed me today to talk about how we're not to be led. How we're not to be led. I've never done a message on this before, though I've mentioned various things. I've never done a message on this before. But I believe this today will help us as much as talking specifically about how to be led by the Spirit. We can understand sometimes how to be led by the Spirit by what the Bible says is not correct and not being led by the Spirit or not appropriate for us as New Testament believers. First of all, I'm going to give you about four ways not to be led. First of all, God in the Bible forbids His people from acquiring guidance or direction from mediums, psychics, palm readers, tarot card readers, horoscopes, astrology, and any other kind of witchcraft or spiritist. God forbids His people. In other words, it's not just a suggestion, you know, you probably don't want to do that. You probably want to stay away from that. No, it's not that way with God. And let me read a passage to you from Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 9. God says to His people, He'd brought them out of Egypt, and they were getting ready in Deuteronomy to cross over into the Canaan land, over the Jordan. And He says in Deuteronomy 18, 9, when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Let me tell you what an abomination is. God hates things But an abomination is what he hates with passion. I mean, it just gets him. He detests it. It's abhorred of the Lord. You want to get God ticked off in a quick way? You want his temper to become hot? Then commit abominations. There are just certain things that make God more angry than other things. They're called abominations. Or God calls them and lists them as abominations. It says, you shall not follow the abominations of those nations. Verse 10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Notice God says, the reason why I'm driving all of those people out of that land and giving it to you is because they're committing these abominations. In another place it says, God says, and if you commit these abominations, I'll drive you out of your own land. Which eventually he did. Because they fell into it. As dumb as it is, people do that. People begin to seek direction and guidance through other ways and other systems than going to the Lord our God. And you know what it does to God? It lets him know he's not really your God. You can say, I'm a Christian, and call yourself anything you want to, but if you're going to get your direction for life from another source other than God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that's the Trinity, three persons, one God. If you're going to any other God, any other source, to get your direction and wisdom and guidance for life, then you have just told God he's not really your God. When you make him your God, then he directs your life. And so he says that's an abomination because that's what the Bible, you shall put no other gods before me. That doesn't mean that you have to call them God. If you just treat them like your God, then you put another God before him. So in that other place, he says, I'll drive you out if you do that. And I tell you what, I've seen Christians, believers, commit these things, some casually, some ignorantly, and the favor of God is stopped on their life because they begin to put some other system of direction in place of God. Listen to Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them. Notice the way God sees it. God says, you're married to me. But when you go to a spiritist or a medium or somebody that operates with the demonic realm, that's what it is. Don't ever think just because they say, I'm going to ask God. Just because they say they're going to ask God does not mean they're going to hear God. Do you understand that? Huh? And you know, some of these people are fakes, they're cons, and others of them genuinely tap into the spirit realm. And in our culture today, you know, you need to tap into your higher power. Let me tell you, there are some higher powers there that you don't want anything to do with. And you won't know the difference if you don't stay with the Word of God and stay with the Lord your God and call on the name of Jesus. You won't know the difference. So he says, he prostitutes himself with them. God says, if you do that, you turn to somebody like that, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? In fact, you remember King Saul? King Saul was one who God pointed out and chose to be king of Israel. The very first king of Israel was Saul. God chose him. He was a handsome man, head and shoulders above all the other men of Israel. That's what the Bible says. But at the end of his life, he had already disobeyed, walked into rebellion with God. And he began to, at the end of his life, he got nervous and scared. And he went to seek the Lord, and he didn't get a quick answer, so he turned to a medium. And he asked that medium, bring up Samuel the prophet, who had died sometime earlier. And later on, when we get to Kings and Chronicles, we read in our daily reading that Saul and all of his sons were killed in battle on the same day. That wasn't supposed to happen, but the Bible says that happened. God caused that to happen because Saul didn't seek the Lord, and he went to a medium. So God did. God set his face against him. Let me say, you can't play both sides with God. He's number one. He is the one true God. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. So stay away, man. I you know, I don't think we ought to get legalistic about it. But I'm concerned, not for myself, but I'm concerned for other people that take a fortune cookie too seriously. No, I'm sure people are looking for guidance and they read that thing. That might be for me. Man, if you're that sensitive and you're grasping and groping, trying to find direction, don't open the dumb thing. I'm telling you, the devil will accommodate you. If you're looking for spiritual guidance, he will accommodate you. There are many demonic spirits out there that would love to lead you and be what the New Age, we know in the New Age, a spirit guide. If you just want a spirit guide, there are lots of spirits out there that would love to guide you, but they'll lead you to hell. And they'll destroy your life in the process. Because let me tell you, Jesus said, the thief, it doesn't say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It says the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That means it may be going good for a while, but he did not come to prosper you. He did not come to bless you. He does not come except to do three things: to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. So don't you buy if things, oh, it's going good here. This seems to be going. Yeah, that's the con. That's the con. It's a setup. Listen to me. It's a setup. So I don't want to spend too much time because I don't think most people have a problem with this. But did you know a few years ago, the number one, I don't know, it might be true every year, I just hadn't heard. The number one dialed number a few years ago when I heard in America was the psychic hotline. Number one dialed number. I don't have any reason to believe that it hasn't been the same in the last few years. I just hadn't heard what the number one number is in the last few years. But I remember several years ago, I heard the number one dial number was the psychic hotline. Why? Because people need direction. They know they need help. They want direction. They want somebody that can tap in. But let me tell you something. You want to tap into the Lord God who loves us and is looking out for our good and our benefit and understands us and has shed the blood of Jesus for us. You do not want to go to the angry, bitter side, the kingdom of darkness, that's right out here in the spirit realm, just like God is, who hates us because we're made in the image of God. And we have an opportunity to have what he wanted. Didn't he say, I will be like the Most High? How many of you know we were made like the Most High? Is that true? See, that he hates us. We received what he wanted. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He does not like you, and he's a deceiver. He's slick. So you've got to know there's a difference between just being led by something in the spirit realm and being led by the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Amen. Number two, in the Old Testament, people were led externally by external things. For example, cloud by day, fire by night, fleeces. Remember Gideon's fleece? Signs, wonders, open and closed doors and things. And I see a lot of Christians today just try to appropriate that Old Testament way of doing things to the New Testament. God changes the way he does things as time goes on. God doesn't change, but God changes. As we changed, God changed. For example, let me give you an example. When Moses led the children of Israel out to the Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh was breathing down their neck. You remember that? And they were in a bind. That's a serious bind that they were in. Pharaoh and his army is ticked. Their nation had been pretty much destroyed. And he was ready to just take them out right there. And they are scared. And so God tells Moses, Moses, stretch your rod out and the sea will part. And then you'll walk across. And that's exactly what happened. He stretched his rod out. The sea parted. After the sea parted and everybody saw it, whoa, then they walked through the Red Sea. And then it closed behind them and destroyed the army of Pharaoh. You remember that. But you remember when Joshua got to the River Jordan, he didn't say, stretch a rod out and it's going to part and then you can walk across. He said, no, get the priests and the ark, line everybody up to go across and have them start walking. And the priests are actually going to get in the water. What's that saying? Joshua, I'm taking you to a level to where now I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to step out in faith before you see anything. Do you understand? It's easy when God opens the door before you opens the water up. And then you say, whoa, the power of God. And you walk in because you can see it. But we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? And so with Joshua, God says, I'm taking you to another level. Now you're going to trust what I say to you. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, and you're going to believe me and step out, even if the river doesn't part a bit. And I'm telling you, they took the most precious possession that they had, the ark. The ark. And they were carrying it out into the middle of the water. They were taking a humongous risk. And at that time, that was the time that the Jordan was full. It was overflowing. That was the time of the year. It was a risk. I mean, they could lose that thing downstream. There it goes. But God was teaching them something. And it's an example to us that God wants us to be led by the inside, not the outside. When I say the inside, now let me make a clarification here. I hear people say, motivational speakers out there in the secular world, tap in to the force within. Look within yourself. There's strength. There's wisdom within you. Let me tell you something. If you're not born again, you can look all you want in there, and you're going to find wickedness and deceit and darkness. And you may think you're slick, and there may be a demon spirit that deceives you and gives you some wisdom. And you think, whoa, look, I looked within myself. Let me tell you something. Until the light of the Word of God comes into your heart, you have no wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that right? Until you fear God, you haven't even started to be wise. You just think you're wise. The Bible says, the wisdom of this age is foolishness with God. Absolute foolishness. God laughs at it. That's the stupidest thing. Look at those guys. Think they're smart. Say, well, man, I see these guys. They're successful. Yeah, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Him and all his kids and wife and everybody's going to hell. Give it a few hundred years and you tell me if you think those people are successful. God says, I'll tell you what's successful. Think eternally. Big picture. Big picture. Now these people were led externally. Fire by night, cloud by day, and so on. Gideon's fleece. Gideon put a fleece. And the Lord told him what to do. And, oh Lord, okay. Lord, okay, if that's you, God, then make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And the ground, then after that, the ground wet and the fleece dry. I don't remember which one came first, but he flip-flopped. And he wanted two confirmations for that to be God. And I see a lot of Christians trying to be led like that before. I mean, today. A lot of Christians that are saying, Lord, if this is your will. Lord, I like Lucy, Lord. And you know, she's not paying any attention. God, if it's your will that I marry her, then Lord, I'm going to stand by my kitchen window and let four red cars go by in the next 5 minutes, Lord, if that's you. How many of you know the devil's got some red car drivers out there? Isn't that right? But people do that all the time. Lord, let this happen. Let that happen. Lord, if it's your will that we step into this business adventure, then I pray that stock will go up 3 points in the next 10 minutes. And so we want God to change this and change that and show us this and show us that before we'll step out. We're walking by sight. God, you show me something, and then I'll know it's you, then I'll walk. But the New Testament says we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that right? Can you imagine Peter about to step out of the boat? Jesus says, come to walk on the water. And just before he gets out there, he said, Lord, you know, if you just will have a couple of pontoons come right over here that'll float so that I can see when I step out that I'm not going to sink, then, Lord, then I'll know you want me to walk on the water. No, that's called floating on pontoons. Isn't that right? People do it all the time. That's not faith. Lord, if you'll just make it so crystal clear to where there's no risk in my life and just part the waters in front of me, then I'll step out by faith. No, you won't. Because you see it. You need to understand, things have changed in the New Testament. We've got a better covenant established on better promises. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's inside of us, leading us from within. You don't need a cloud to move and a fire by night to move. We're to be led from the inside now. And God hasn't called us to be led by fleeces. Lord, if you do this, then this. And Lord, if you do that. Now, does God change circumstances on our behalf? Yes, amen, He does. Amen, He does. People say, well, Lord, I pray that if that's your will, you just open the door. I hear Christians pray that all the time. Lord, you open the door. Instead of saying, Lord, do you want me to go through that door? Open or not? I don't care whether things open or not. Do you want me to go through? How many of you know Jesus got into situations that weren't good? And he went ahead and did it anyway. In other situations, like he went out to pray one morning early in his ministry before the disciples got up. And the disciples got up, they realized there's a big crowd that gathered to come here. I'm telling you, any preacher's dream, big crowd comes to hear you. Wonderful. And so finally the disciples come. Jesus has been praying. They find him. Lord, Lord, where you been? We got the big crowd out here. They're ready to hear the word. And Jesus says, no, the Lord's already spoken to me. We're going into the next towns. There's a big crowd, open door. Lord, God has brought them. Jesus says, no, I've already heard instructions from the Father. We're going into the next towns. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? We are not to be led by external circumstances. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We are to be led from the inside by the Holy Spirit. That's how we're to be led. Thank God. But I hear people all the time, Lord, well, you know, I thought God wanted me to do it, but the door closed. Now, let me say what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that God doesn't open doors and close doors. He absolutely does. In fact, let me give you a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 2:12 says, Paul said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. So we can readily see that God does open doors, doesn't he? How many of you know God does give us opportunities and open doors on our behalf? Amen. Listen to Acts 16:7. It says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Notice it didn't say that those in Bithynia didn't permit them. It said the Spirit did not permit them. It didn't say anything about a mob or resistance. It just said the Holy Spirit said no. He didn't permit them to go. Let me tell you something. There are some open doors that will come in front of you that the Spirit, if you listen to him, will say, don't you walk through that. God didn't open that door. Huh? Well, Lord, you know, can you imagine? Lord, I don't know who you want me to marry, but just open the door. Can you imagine all the open doors that would not be good? Go put in a bunch of applications. Lord, I don't know which job you want me to take, but you open the door. And you get four back that say, yeah, we'd like to hire you. God wants me to work four jobs. No, I'm telling you, people do this. And just assume, and I've seen so many people say, God opened the door, and they're excited. And they, oh, man, God just opened this door. And so sometimes I'll ask them, now, are you sure that's the Lord opened the door? Well, I prayed that if it was his will, he'd open the door. And it opened. How many of you know there is a devil out there? And when you walk by sight, he's out there opening doors and closing doors as well. Is that true? I'm telling you. And so if you're going by what's going on out here, outside of you, and not paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you will walk through wrong doors and regret it. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've done it. We all have to some extent. All of us. You'll walk through wrong doors and regret it. Or you will see a closed door in front of you. The Holy Spirit's saying, no, that's your door. Yeah, but the door's closed. But that's your door. That's your door. Because Satan closes doors too. In fact, listen to 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul says to those in Thessalonica, he says, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, how did he know it was Satan? You know what most Christians would have said? But the Lord closed the door. But notice Paul, he knows the difference between when the Spirit said no and when it's Satan that's hindering us. Most Christians have no concept that Satan closes doors and hinders us from doing things. He does. I said he does. I'm telling you, there are doors that God has for you to walk through. They're not open yet, but he wants you to walk by faith. Go stand on the door and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. And just stand there. Well, I believe God said he'll go through the door. And it's not open yet, but I'm believing it'll open because the Holy Spirit's telling me this is the door for me to walk through. I remember I was 18 years old just learning to stand on the Word of God, the promises of God by faith. The Lord prompted my heart about those things to ask Him what I wanted. I needed a job. And so I asked for a box boy job at a grocery store because I had a friend that had a job, got promoted, and he was able to go to school and pay his way. And so I began to believe God. Say, Lord, I want a job as a box boy in a grocery store. Now, I was just, this was small. Somebody says, that's all the faith you had? Yeah, I was stretching, believing God. And I went and put my application all around where we lived. And I'm telling you, I got turned down. No, 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 no. And I began to get discouraged. Man, I'm believing God here and everything. You know, this standing on the Word, faith stuff. Doesn't seem to be working. Oh, man, I remember the Holy Spirit directed me to a particular store. Now, I'll tell you that story probably later on in this series. He directed me to a particular store. And I didn't want to go because I'd already been to that store and they turned me down. They said, no, door closed. You listening to me? But the Holy Spirit said, go back again. I was embarrassed. I mean, it's just been there within the past 2 weeks. And they said, nope, sorry, nothing available. I mean, you know, you can become irritating to people. Is now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And so I remember I went back in there, and just so happened that they were on the verge, that particular chain was on the verge of a meat department strike. And so I went in there and so asked for the manager. Manager came back out again. He said, do you have any experience in the meat department? No. You ever worked in a meat department before? No. No. Do you know anything about a meat department? No. I said, but I'll work hard. I'll do my best. And he said, well, I don't know if I have any box boy positions open. 2 weeks ago, he didn't. Didn't even want to talk to me. But a couple of days, he called me. Yeah, we got a box boy position open. Come on over. And I got hired. Listen, that was a closed door. And the only reason that I went back there was because the Holy Spirit said, go back there. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You will miss. And that happened to be the store that later on I was able to get promoted. I was able to minister the gospel to people there. And I was able, through that position at that job, because I had favor with that manager as time went on, to have any hours I wanted as I began to go into the ministry. I had any hours I wanted. He gave me all the time off I wanted. He gave me more hours than most all the other checkers so that it would pay my way through school. God blessed me abundantly through that particular store. They just liked me there. When I left, my manager said, you're the best I ever had. Now, God knew that that was the place for me, but the door was closed. Are you listening to what I'm talking about? We're talking about another level than just bumbling through life. You know, a lot of Christians think, well, this is the way God leads me. It's like, you know, it's kind of like get on a pool table and you're the cue ball. And say, okay, God, I'm the cue ball. Lord, if it's your will that I go into one of these pockets, just you know, open the door and close the door. And so God's going to take two pool sticks, and he's going to bang you over here. No, not that way. Bang you over here. Oh, there's a closed door there. Oh, there's a closed door there. There's a closed door. And you fall into an open door there. Hey, isn't that great? That's not led by the Spirit. That's being slapped around by the Almighty God. And I tell you what, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you to function like that. That's the way you function with little baby kids, little toddlers. Come on, you just lead them over here. You don't teach them how to walk across the street to look both ways. They're too young for that. God wants us to grow up and to be mature and to communicate with Him and to listen to Him so that we know how to be cautious. We know how to be sensitive to the feelings and the thoughts of God. He wants us to communicate and to listen to Him and His voice. And how many of you know Jesus said, well, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. You know what most Christians do? Oh, God put a mountain in the way. Okay, well, let's go around this way. How do you know you don't need to stand up and say, God said go that way, you mountain, be removed in the name of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We are not to be led by external things in the New Testament. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, third, we are not to seek or immediately obey any vision of an angel or what we would think was Jesus or anything in the spirit realm. We are not to seek to be led by those visions or immediately obey those. How many of you know those things need to be tested and checked out? Do you understand? Those things need to be tested. People have said, I saw an angel and here's what he told me to do. I'm just going to do it. Well, why are you going to do it? It's an angel. Was it an angel of God? Yeah, how do you know? It was glowing. He was big. He wore white, right? I saw him. Well, big deal. How do you know it was from God? He said he was. Oh, really? Oh, is that right? So if somebody comes to your house and says, yes, I'm from the president's office, the federal government, and I need all that you have in your house. We're confiscating it. So, can I see some ID? No, I'm just from his office. I'm from FBI or CIA, and I am. Just trust me. Well, can I see some ID? No, I just... Can't you tell? Look, I'm talking into my sleeve. See, we wouldn't do that with anybody here on earth. We want to test them out. Let me see your identification. Let me find out who you really are. But somehow in the spirit realm, if you see something in the spirit realm, oh, that's God. That's God. How do you know it's God? Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11. It says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Don't think that if you see Satan that he's going to be an angel of darkness. He's not going to be, you know, standing there with a pointed tail and a pitchfork and red horns and saying, I'm the devil. Follow me. Ah. No, you know why? Because you wouldn't follow him. You'd go, ah! Get out of here. But if he comes and he's looking like an angel and he says, fear not. And say stuff, you know, angel stuff. Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings. You are blessed of the Lord and here's what I want you to do. Or maybe he'll talk in King James. I have called thee and anointed thee and blessed thee. And thou shalt now step out in thy own ministry. And I have brought this person to you. Marry them. I've heard people receive from God. Yeah, God told me divorce my spouse and go marry this person. And then, no, no, no. No, anything, any vision you see, and God does give visions. But any vision you see needs to be first checked out with the Word of God. Does it comply with what God said in His Word? And does it bear witness to what the Holy Spirit is saying? Because Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. You've got to be careful. Let me tell you, it's not hard to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm just pointing some things out to you that are common errors and mistakes that people make because they're so desperate for direction, not realizing that the Holy Spirit's right there. You don't need to be desperate for direction. He's available right there. Just seek God. Seek God. Spend time seeking God. Don't go around asking everybody else what they think and take the majority. Ask the Lord. Number four, though prophets and prophecies are scriptural, it is unscriptural in the New Testament to seek guidance through prophets and prophecies. It's unscriptural in the New Testament. Now, back in the Old Testament, if you needed to hear something from God, you would take a gift to a prophet or a seer, same thing, and say, I need to hear from God. Do you hear anything from God for me about this situation? Perfectly appropriate because people were not filled with the Holy Spirit. But today, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes in you, and then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God wants each of us to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go to some higher person that has more of the Spirit than us. We don't have to do that. Now, thank God for prophecies. Thank God for words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and all of those tongues interpretation, all those ways that the Holy Spirit speaks through people. That's the Holy Spirit when it's done appropriately. But we are not, when we need to make a decision, we are not to run to somebody that can give us a prophecy and say, I got to know what to do. Give me a word. Give me a word. Pray over me. Give me a word. Give me a word. No. You need to go to God. Listen to James 1:5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask his pastor. Huh? Let him ask that prophetic person in the church. Give me a word. What does it say? Ask God. Ask God. Look, it's right there on the screen. Let's read it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it might be given to him. You just never know. It's not what it said. What did it say? It will be. God wants to be your source. God wants to be your source. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. 1 John 2:27 says, but the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit on you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. I thank God for people that are prophetic. Well, we need that. That's part of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about that. We need the manifestation of the Spirit. It's scriptural. And God gave that as a way that people can be used by God to bring what the Holy Spirit is saying so that we can be led by the Spirit. But what is given to you must bear witness with the Holy Spirit in you. You've got to learn to be sensitive to Him inside of you, because how will you know the difference between a prophecy, a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit, or one from the flesh or a carnal mind or from a demon spirit? How would you know? And we're all called to learn to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying so that it can bear witness to our spirits. I remember not long ago that there was a particular person that came into the church. He hadn't been there that long. And after various services and events and such, he would come up to me and he'd say, the Lord's saying this and that and the other. And of course, I pay attention. How many of you know I want to hear what the Lord's saying? And I believe some of the things that he said were accurate and right. I believe he heard some things from the Lord. I believe he heard some things from the Lord. But a lot of what he said, I didn't even understand what he's talking about. Wasn't sure. Well, I've learned over time not to just discount something because I didn't immediately understand it. Sometimes I've received a word from somebody and I didn't really understand it, so I just asked the Lord, if there's something to that, let me know. And as you know, months will go on and all of a sudden, oh, phew, that's what that guy was talking about. Sometimes that happens. I've had that happen to me before. So I've learned, don't just discount it because you don't fully comprehend it. But right on the other hand, if it doesn't bear witness in your heart, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you don't know that that's what God's saying to you. Don't you jump out on it because somebody gave me a word, I got to do it. No, don't you do that. You are responsible to be led by God through the Holy Spirit, not by prophecies. You are responsible to be led by God. If you step out on a prophecy, it's your fault. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But this particular person would come up and say some things, and then somebody came and told me that they were at a social event of a number of the members of our church and such. And this guy happened to mention to the group, yeah, the Lord brought me to the rock because I guide Pastor Jerry with prophecies. Well, you can see the pride all over that. If someone was sent to guide a leader, you don't ever say that. You would never say that. No, because that's a power play. That's pride talking. Do you understand? You don't ever say that. You take that seriously. Because that just, you know, you just raise yourself. The Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Very important. And I remember it wasn't all right about that time that I was announcing this healing series that we were about to do beginning last year in July. I was announcing that we were going to do a series on healing and focus on divine physical healing that's in the atonement provided for us and how to receive it. And after one of the services where I announced that, he came to me and he said, the Lord doesn't want this just to be about physical healing. He wants you to teach the whole scope of healing, emotional, mental, and so on. Well, I know that. How many of you know God heals in more ways than just physical healing? Isn't that true? I mean, He heals us completely. And I said to Him, all right, I'll pray about that. Thank you. You know, there's no need to get upset with people either. Isn't that right? You know, for me, just to say, oh, He thinks He guides me, I'm not listening to Him. Well, that's pride too, isn't it? I said, that's pride too. No, I'm not called to walk in pride just because somebody else does. Man, what if somebody that walks in pride hears from the Lord for you? Are you going to discount them because in their flesh they're not acting appropriately? How do you know? There are people that walk in pride all the time that hear from God, but they mess things up with the flesh and the pride. That's what Paul was talking about when he says you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and prophesy and move mountains and everything else, but if you don't have the character of love, then you're going to foul it up and it's going to become just a big bunch of noise because people won't trust you anymore. But that didn't mean that mountains weren't moved and tongues weren't talked, prophecies weren't given. Amen. Do you understand? And so I told him I'd pray about that. And so I went and prayed about it. I didn't spend an hour praying about it. I just went back in my office later on that week and said, Lord, if you want me to expand that into a larger scope of healing, I'll be happy to do that. That's what you want. And the witness of my spirit was, no, I've already shown you what to do. You're going to focus on what people struggle with the most in terms of their faith, believing that God is willing to heal physically. Very few people argue that God's willing to heal emotionally. Doesn't mean they're not hurting. I'm just saying they don't argue that God's not willing to do it. But physical healing, where there has to be a manifestation in this natural realm, that's where people struggle. And just the witness, I didn't hear a voice from heaven. Just the witness of the Holy Spirit said, no, you just do what I told you to do. Thank God. So next week I got up and I just announcing it again. Just said the same thing. We're focusing on physical healing. Because that's what the Holy Spirit was saying. Do you understand? See, I can't be led by everybody else. This is not a popularity contest. This is not a vote. This is not fill out the card and tell me what I should talk about. Dear Lord, help us if we don't have leadership that hears from heaven and does what God tells them to do. And it's not just leadership. It's all of us that are called to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God. Well, how are we to be led? Well, this is what we're going to talk about in ensuing weeks. Four ways that we're to be led by the Spirit within. You can just jot these down. We'll begin to talk about them next weekend. First of all, the Word of God. The Word of God. We'll talk about just the fact that the Word of God in general guides us. This is the accurate, authentic Word from God, inspired. But also, the Holy Spirit brings life to the letter. The Bible said the letter can kill, but the Spirit brings life. The Holy Spirit will bring life to particular principles of the Word of God that you need to exercise and appropriate right now. Amen. Amen. We'll get into talking about that. But it'll be like you're reading your Bible, just reading your New Testament that you're reading. And bam, a scripture will highlight to you and you just know, man, that's God speaking to me to do that right now in this situation. You just know the Holy Spirit does it. That's one way to be led by the Spirit. Another way is the voice of your spirit as distinct from the Holy Spirit. The voice of your spirit. And third is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's a difference between your spirit talking to you and the Holy Spirit? I'll show you the difference. The Bible's very clear about it. What's the difference between your spirit talking to you, which, by the way, is greatly influenced by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of him. But your spirit will say different things to you than the Holy Spirit does. I'll show you that in the Word. And then fourth, the inward witness. It won't be a voice. You won't necessarily hear words. You'll just have a sense of what to do. I want to show you this in the Word and show you how it plays out. But see, notice this is coming from the inside. Even though the Bible's out here and it gives us direction, very easy to see. But the Holy Spirit from within will highlight certain things and say, now's the time to act on that. The Bible says give and it'll be given. But that doesn't mean that you just need to give your house away today. Or you need to give your car away. If you are to give your car away, the Holy Spirit will show you when to give your car away and who to give it to. Amen? Amen. Thank God. Everybody say, I'm led by the Spirit. The one and only Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. I'm not led by demon spirits. I'm not led by external forces. I'm not Open and close doors. Fleeces. Mountains. Barriers. Opportunities. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit. I am led by the Spirit of God. And therefore, everything I put my hand to, it's going to prosper. God is going to bless me. I'll be at the right place at the right time, every time, in Jesus' name. No more mistake to mistake, problem to problem. I'm led in and out of stressful situations, directed by the Holy Spirit. And all of those things will work together for my good because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're